Is there a more maligned and mischaracterized animal than the hyena? I mean, you were talking about this TV show you watched, and I'm thinking of all the other representations of hyenas that we're all familiar with as kind of a skulking, savage, evil creature in the dark.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're not even, you know, my first thought is, why are they built that way? Why do they look like that? They look like they're skulking.
They look funny. They've got the front legs are longer than the back legs, so they look sort of hunched.
Like they're kind of scooting along all the time, Mickey.
Yeah, and, folks that were not native to Africa that were there studying, looking at wildlife, were usually out during the day, so you'd see them around carcasses. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, they're a skulking scavenger. And a lot of traditional cultures in Africa never liked them either. They say they're out at night and
ride
them. Yeah, they make these weird sounds, the giggling and maniacal laughter. So as usual, whether it's with animals or people, as you get to know them, you find other sides to them that can make them more endearing. And that's one good thing if you do have a good nature documentary on television where someone spent the time to be out there to get to know the animals and get good footage, you say, oh, my gosh, I never knew that, and there's a lot more to them than I thought.
Yeah.
So now I'm a hyena fan, spotted hyenas. But that's actually happening in the biological sciences. People are starting to realize now because of those sorts of studies that, for example, if you're studying intelligence, especially social intelligence that lets you interact with individuals like humans are known for.
Or chimpanzees, say.
Yeah, we tend to look at other primates, let's say, to see what are all the relationships. And it turns out hyenas should be on that list too.
Really?
They have amazing social structures. These are the spotted hyenas that people call them the laughing hyenas. And they live in clans that can have up to 60 or 80 individuals in them, all with a very strict social hierarchy.
These are not like packs of dogs or something or coyotes.
Right. It's different from dogs. Actually, hyenas may look a little dog-like, but they're not dogs. They're not cats. Their closest relatives would be mongoose, actually, so they're a separate thing. But the clans are run by the females, and so there's a dominant female, and her status is actually inherited.
Oh, so a true matriarch.
Like a true matriarch or a royalty lineage. So her babies, her cubs, grow up with higher status than the other ones. And so that can change. Like they can have a coup or something like that too. But
her daughter, a daughter of hers, would inherit that.
Her position and have an advantage to that. And the females are a little bigger than the males. So every one of them knows each other as an individual and knows their strict pecking order. So the more dominant animal can take food away from the others. Any female can take a kill away from any male. So the males are all subordinate. And then within the males, they have their own hierarchy too.
Cool. So some naturalist hung out with hyenas for long enough to figure all this out?
Yeah, and there are ways to tell individuals partly by how they act, of course, because they're confident, but just things like the trademark laugh or the giggles they have. They actually do giggle, you could say. It's often in times of stress, like when they're maneuvering around who's going to get what food, mm-hmm. or if there's a clan confrontation with another clan and they're giggling, or they're facing off against lions and things. So you could almost say it's like nervous laughter, like I just did. But you can tell by the tone or the style of the giggle whether the individual is older or younger, if it's a dominant one.
Male or female?
Male or female. So like a dominant female will sort of have a steady, rhythmic laugh.
Not quite so nervous.
Not quite so nervous. And the subordinate one that's sort of cringing, it's going up and down and different kinds of sounds.
So what's the advantage of having this huge, well-organized clan?
Well, you can...
I mean, there must be a reason that they do that.
Right. There are advantages to be social, just like you think with us. You get more resources and you can do more things if you're a cooperative, cohesive group. And so you can watch, if you do watch these documentaries or, if you did, were lucky enough to go out and watch it in the wild, you'd find situations where one clan comes up against another to dispute a territory and the bigger group wins. Or if you're out hunting and some lions come along and want to take your kill away from you, then if they outnumber you, or you outnumber them, that will determine what happens there. And if you have a big enough group, you can hunt bigger prey. So the biggest hyena groups hunt things as big as giraffes and Cape buffalo.
Wow. So do you think all this information that's coming out will change our minds, our sort of collective idea about hyenas?
Well, a lot of us hope so, because they've been maligned so much, people think they don't need to be conserved. And there are problems with habitat loss and overhunting and things like that that threaten hyenas as much as other wildlife.
And we just don't even want to hear about it. Right. Thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley at St. Lawrence University.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.